So it's been a great 9 months. It's been a challenging 9 months. The guys in the class have been wonderful. Pastor Mike, it's just been a blessing. Sometimes we think we can control our destiny, but God has chosen that path with us, for us. God tests your character on this journey, and he's tested mine. He wants to test your character and to see what type of character you portray. Are you a greedy person? Are you a resentful person? Are you one that forgives and forgets? Are you a good Christian? Or what does that even mean? Are you free from judging others? Do you feel blessed each and every day? Do you thank God for his grace and his favor? You see, God knows when men face adversity, they crumble. They tend to hide. For those who stand up and have faith, they embrace it. So how is your character when you feel this way? When you feel you've been wronged, betrayed, let down? There's times, you know, before this class, I would think just of myself. I think a lot about fishing. I loved fishing. it ruled my life, and unfortunately, it made a little bit of trouble at home. So, but honestly, I mean, I don't control my destiny. My destiny lies within God's path, and he has a path for me. He's been my savior. I mean, May 6th, when my mother-in-law had that heart attack on my oldest daughter's birthday, it was just a test of my character, a test of my faith. It was a test of my family's faith in the Lord. As she was in ICU, she later had that stroke. And I'd question God, like, what more would you ask from me? What more do you want from this family? My wife, the last few weekends, has been traveling back and forth to Phoenix. And thankfully, the Lord has been there for me. When I pick her up, the stress that she comes back with has been incredible. I just pray with her and I reach out to her and say, God has a plan for mom, and it will work. It hasn't been easy. You know, it's been a struggle, even with my own family and my own physical problems. But what I've learned in these past 9 months in men's leadership is, men, we need to step up and do what's right with the Lord, no matter what happens or what the circumstances are. And how do we do that? I think one is attending church. Two is giving when we can't think we can give any more. I think it's by making a conscious effort to follow Jesus every day, a daily commitment. Where do I fall in God's world? Do you follow the image of his son, Jesus Christ? Does your character show respect and honor to others around us? Instead of judging others, judge yourself. We need to be humble and thankful for each and every minute. Give thanks and pray and forgiveness for our sins. And yes, we all sin. I have sinned. Second, by staying with the Word of God every day. And I don't know why, maybe it's the only one I remember in our men's ministry, is Joshua 1:8. You know, let this book of the law be ever on your lips and in your thoughts day and night, so that you may keep with care everything in it. Then a blessing will be all on your way and you will do well. This is something I've said over and over and over, and it just rang with me. Another one was Ephesians 4:29, which I quoted to my sister, which was not a good thing. It was, as you know, my father passed November 27th on my youngest daughter's birthday. And the same day I was diagnosed with cancer. And it's amazing what words come out of your sibling's mouth in a time of grief. And I quoted that passage to her, and I did not get the results that I thought it would. It was a long, long winter. So, third for me, by choosing not to act the way you feel, regardless of what happens to me, because I know God has a plan. You know, it's how you respond and how you act and how you honor God in those situations. Everyone can be a good Christian when times are good. But can you be a good Christian when times are bad? When you see that difficult moment, can you reach out to that person? Can you let them know that God has a plan? You know, with my father passing unexpectedly this year, it tested my faith. I think it was a test on my resolve, a test on my character. You know, before I found Christ, I would be like, why? Why me, God? You know, why is this my problem? But God had a plan. It was a test. It was a test of my faith. And I embraced it. I know that my father was to be with the Lord. And now with my mother-in-law clinging to life in ICU, I have not lost my faith. I have not lost the support that I give my wife. And most of all, I guess a test of my faith is my daily commute, my last one. For those, I work in Washington County, so that is a long ways. An hour and a half each way, 2 hours on bad days. And I think it's a real test of my character not to yell profanities or cut people off. Instead, I would think, I pray for you, and I hope you well. You know, it's been a real test. So I guess the questions I ask, are you a giving person? Do you give with an open hand or a clenched fist? Are you slow to anger or quick to give praise? For Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things we've done in the body, whether good or bad. For each of us now, we need to evaluate ourselves. It's not to be judged by others, but instead, where do you see yourself before God? Well, while we're not in control of our destiny, God is, and He has, given us everything we need in order to follow Him. The question is, will you? Thank you.
Thank you, John. Man, that was powerful. I just want to say thank you to everybody for all your support through this time and over the course of this class, and to my brothers in the group. What a powerful blessing it's been to just be a witness to their testimonies, and how humbling it's been as they've laid themselves bare before us all, and how encouraging it's been to see them go through their trials, various trials, and overcome. I also want to say thanks to Pastor Mike just for bringing such a comprehensive course over these past 9 months. It brings to my mind Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I've felt that his heart is right there in that consideration every Sunday, and it's been a very, very powerful personal feeling right here, for which I'm very thankful. This is an awesome church. You know, the question was asked, you've heard, that when we start this class, why are you in this class? Well, my answer was, for the challenge, which was bogus. the real answer was that I needed a wake-up call. the challenges of the class you've heard are Bible reading, praying for the salvation for those you know, praying for and with your wife, and for all of you. To be an active member of the body, additional reading and books about spiritual maturity and leadership, as well as study of the lessons we learn on Sunday mornings. But the real challenge is right here. It lies right in our hearts. Thing is, I can do all those things just going through the motions. They're great things. But I'll eventually run out of steam as my false motivations prove insufficient. When you go to class in the morning and you sit there and you hear Pastor Mike tell you all these things and you agree with them, but you don't do them, it hits you right in the gut because there's a lot at stake. until in my heart, I saw the need for these things to be evident in my life, true repentance and growth didn't occur. This led me to real self-examination, which ended in true conviction. And this process has been very convicting. Wake up, O sleeper. What are you doing? Don't you know what is at stake? I hear the Lord say to me. Proverbs 7:21-23. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Proverbs portrays this vivid description of a man being led away by the adulteress to death. Though death is the end result of all sin and the inevitability when we stop taking a look at our own hearts to take our Christian walk seriously. The scripture is full of this correlation that sin equals death. The gratification of our selfish flesh is death. The submission to the attacks of the devil is death. The following the ways of the world is death. This isn't a matter of being comfortable and just gliding through life. Open your eyes. This is a matter of life and death. And yours is not the only life to consider, O selfish sleeper. I hear the Spirit call to me. The reality of this situation is grave and there's a lot at stake. And our walk with God should not be taken lightly. Just as we wake up in the morning and sometimes we have to rub the sleep from our eyes to see clearly, so too this wake-up process has cleared my mind of the foggy sleep and given me some clarity on some things, especially being a husband to my wife. My wife needs me. She needs me to be a leader. She needs me to be a provider and give her a sense of security and reliability and also to be gentle and loving. Throughout the first 4 years of our marriage, my wife was suffering a very profound and debilitating depression. Back then, I would have given anything to make things better. And for a long time, I've thought in reflection, oh, poor me. Only now, over the course of this class, are the lessons of that time made clear to me. At that time, it fell to me to take care of all the household needs, cooking, cleaning, shopping, while going to work and taking care of our first child, and doing my best to keep my wife from succumbing to the nature of her illness. And living with the knowledge that the person you love and cherish more than anything in the world no longer wants to be was the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with. Every day, shamefully, I heard the voice of the devil, my own selfish flesh, and the world whispering in my ear, "You have other options." Or screaming, "You deserve ... Though today, after this wake-up process, it's made me see that that time wasn't just about suffering or how terrible life was. And it certainly was not about me. But it was about how Christ led and protected my family by putting to death the will of my selfish nature, by silencing the devil and delivering us from the clutches of the world. Today, I'm left confident, emboldened and passionate about my marriage, knowing that it was all worth it. And let me encourage you, if you find yourself similarly invested in the same situation, as Christ demonstrated his love for us, giving all and dying for us, save yourself and everybody a lot of heartache and get on with the business of dying to yourself so that Christ may live through you and conquer the plague of selfishness that is afflicting our marriages today. If we don't wake up to the world, the devil, and our flesh, then it's going to cost us our lives and the lives of our families. If I'm as passionate as I claim to be about my marriage and being a father, then I better shut up and get busy. Die to myself, pick up my cross, and follow Christ. I need to fill my heart with the Spirit through prayer and consumption of God's Word, and submit to Christ and serve. In parting, I'll leave you with this scripture. It's Ephesians 5, 14 through 16. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. Thank you.